All right, Luke chapter 2 tonight. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2, and I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 40. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus, and the Word of God said, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. You know, the Lord is careful in the Word of God. I want you to notice the accuracy here. If you were one of the ones that were maybe watching Jesus in that day, you would have probably said his mother and father. But it said Joseph and his mother. Y'all know why, don't you? Because Joseph wasn't his father, amen? And so the Bible said Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" You see, if you look at the word father in verse number 48, it's a little F. If you look at the word father in verse number 49, it's a capital F. I must be about my father's business, my heavenly father. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the Scripture that speaks to our hearts and helps us, our Lord, each day of our lives. God, I pray tonight for those, our Father, that are in need of a physical touch, for those, our Lord, that are in need of a spiritual touch tonight. I pray, God, that you would touch them. Help us, our Father. I pray you'd bless in the meeting tonight, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless in the meeting, Lord, where the revivalist broke out. And God, I pray everybody would just mind you. And God, I pray that revival would break out in our land. Lord, America's in trouble. And Lord, I know that you are the answer. I pray, dear Father, that we wouldn't wait too long, that we wouldn't tarry too far from the shore. Help us, our Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight for just a little while on this subject, the most important business in the whole world. Tonight, what's going to go on in our church is important. Somebody said that, you know, that wish we couldn't have a business meeting. I'm glad we can have a business meeting. I'm glad for the business of the church. Amen. And it's very important, but it's not the most important business in the whole world. The most important business in the whole world is the business that our Heavenly Father is in. And Jesus, at a very young age, he understood that. And I want to give you some things tonight. It's not outlined as maybe sometimes I normally, God gives it to me and I outline the Scripture. But I just want to give you some things that God spoke to my heart about out of this text tonight. I want to say this tonight. God's still in the saving business. God is still in the reclamation. They use that term, Brother Wayne, in the mines. They reclaim. They strip the coal out and then reclaim the land. Amen. They go back and put some topsoil in there and sow seed and plant trees and things of that nature. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Many a man and many a woman has been broken by sin. I'm talking about people that know Christ as their Savior. But our God is still in the reclaiming business. Amen. I'm so glad that He is. I love the song. I bless the day He didn't throw away the clay. Over and over He makes me. He molds me and makes me into His image. He fashions the clay. And I don't know about you tonight, but I'm grateful that God is still doing the work that Jesus started. Amen. It's about His Father's business. I'm thankful tonight. I actually, when I was preparing tonight, I didn't realize that Jason and Nathaniel and Emmy would be here tonight. I had forgotten that. But the first thing that God gave me tonight is even a young person can be involved in this business. If you notice here in the Word of God, the Bible said the child grew. If you notice in verse number 42, he was 12 years old. I'm going to tell you something right now. You don't have to wait till your life is spent to get involved in the business of God. Amen. And I think about our young people here at the church and thank God for them. But I'm telling you tonight, I don't believe there's enough emphasis. We're emphasizing this team and that team and this sport and that sport. But I'm going to tell you, God has a business that's still going on in the world. Amen. And I thank God that even a child can be involved in this business. I think we were in a Cracker Barrel. And we were away from the family. I can't remember where we were. It might have been when we went 3 days down there to the South Myrtle Beach years ago. But we were in a Cracker Barrel. And I picked up a little plaque. And I loved it. I took a picture of it and sent it to Charity and sent it to Elizabeth. And what the little plaque said was, grandparents, so easy to operate, even a child can do it. Amen. I love it. Amen. But you know what about God's work? God can use a child. I'll tell you, I don't mean this to be, I hope it don't sound mean-spirited, but I'd just soon have a youngin' praying for me as anybody in this world. I'm telling you, that youngin' can pray with a childlike faith and believe that God, I'm talking about youngins praying even some of them before they've been saved, amen? They haven't come to the age of accountability yet, but there's that faith and that trust. I told the story years ago, and I hope that I don't bore you with it, but it come to my mind before I go on to the next thing in the message tonight. When we had Josh and Jordan with us there in the house, and Josh was maybe 2 or 3 years old, sick with pneumonia on one end of the basement and wheezing. And I mean, I'm deaf and I could hear him on the other end. And I said to Jordan, he was laying on the bed with me, I said, Jordan, we need to pray for Joshy, honey. He said, you pray, Papa. And laying on the bed, we didn't get up and kneel, just laying there on the bed, talk to the Lord, ask him to help Josh. Well, Preston, when I got through praying and said amen, Jordan jumped up off the bed, ran across the basement about from here to that wall over there and stood over top of Joshy and said, Joshy, you feel better? Everybody getting what I'm talking about? Jesus is 12 years old. Amen. He's got the grace of God on him. Amen. And he's got wisdom. And he's going to be about his Father's business, the most important business in the whole world. That brings me to the next thing in the message tonight. This business cannot be done apart from the grace of God. I'll tell you something tonight. Every Sunday school teacher, now listen to me tonight. Don't misunderstand what I'm going to say.
You ought to study. But I'll tell you what, you ought to never learn how to teach. A man ought to study to preach the Word of God, but he ought to never learn how to preach. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Never get to the place where you don't have to depend on Him to help you. We ought to try to be a good daddy, Brother David, but we ought to never get to the place where we think we can be a daddy and a father and a grandfather without His help and without the grace of God. The Word of God said here, the grace of God was upon him. The Word of God said, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and then verse 10. The grace of God normally, when somebody says the grace of God, normally we're thinking about that salvation experience and the grace of God. Normally when you talk about faith, but beloved, listen, faith and the grace of God, it applies just as much after we get saved, if not more, than when we got saved. The Bible said the grace of God teaches us. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then the Word of God said this, for we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? That means this, that God has already ordained that when a man gets saved, that's not the end, that's the beginning. And that man, listen, is to get up off of the altar, having been saved by faith, and walk by faith. That man is to get up off of the altar, having been saved by the grace of God, and walk in the grace of God, and depend on the grace of God. This is Jesus, 12 years old. And this business can't be done apart from the grace of God. I'm going to give you this tonight. Now, I hope God will speak to hearts right here tonight. But this business may take you away from your family. Y'all hear what I said? I'm not going to get personal tonight because you all would know the situation if I talked about it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. This business, Brother Michael, may require a man to leave a good job, a good paying job, with good insurance. And as far as this world's concerned, security. Say amen. You say, Pastor, where do you see that? Jesus says there's a day's journey between him and his family. Hey, when God called Abraham, he said, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees. Amen. I'm telling you, when you get involved in the most important business in the world, it may require you to leave your family. I'm talking about, beloved, not leave your wife. Your wife ought to go with you. If your children are under that age, then they need to go with you. But I'm talking about beloved brothers and sisters and moms and dads. I believe, listen, we're living in a world where mom and dad lots of times is tying the strings around them and trying to hold on to them. Because, beloved, listen, they don't understand that the most important business in the world is the work of God. How thankful we ought to be. And we ought to realize this, where God guides, God provides. If God calls a man or calls a woman, listen to me. It may take them away from their family. It may take them across the ocean. It may take them across the United States of America. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There'll be a day when the Father that was looking down on the Son right here will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. This business, watch this now, will require that one be willing to listen. Watch this. The Word of God said here in verse number 46, the Word of God said, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. What's the first thing? Both hearing them. I've said this for years. If you're going to talk to somebody about the Lord, best thing you can do is just listen a little while. And God will tell you where to start. See, some people, you can't start with some people in Romans. You've got to start with them in Genesis. They don't have any understanding how sin come into the world. They don't understand why they lie like they do and why they cheat like they do and why they think like they do. Amen? They don't understand the sin nature. But Jesus, right in the middle of them, what did the Bible say? I'll tell you, whatever the Bible says, what Jesus is. Watch what the Word of God said. Let every man be swift to what? Hear. Slow to speak. Swift to hear. Amen. I believe with all of my heart Jesus is sitting down there. He's listening. He's hearing them. But then the Word of God uses the word and. If this business, the greatest business in the world, it requires one to be willing to listen. Let me just say this to you tonight. It was a blessing. I got to tell Brother Ralph this story Monday night again, and I hadn't told it in a long time. But years ago, there was a man. We were in Mississippi, Parchment, Mississippi. There's 10 different prisons on that one prison ground. Now, they're scattered out, I mean, over probably 3 or 4 miles, you know what I mean? But there's 10 different prisons in that one compound, I guess is what you'd call it. And we had a big team of men. We were doing the revival at Mississippi at Parchment. And we'd probably take over 100 men in there and be split up. There may be 10, 12 men in each prison. And I preached the first night in the prison where we went to. They asked me to preach. And I preached on this subject, 5 reasons why I don't want to go to hell. And 1 reason why I'm not. I'm telling you, God made hell hot that night. And God made heaven sweet that night. But I'll tell you, I wasn't working the altar. I was giving the invitation. But the third night of the revival, I was working the altar. And this man came up to me. And I'm just telling you this because it's a fact, not that it's important. But he was a black man. He looked to be in his 40s. This man came up to me and I said, "Sir, can I help you?" He said, "I just don't know if I'm saved." And I said, "Well, listen, and I'm going to listen." I said, "What makes you even think you might be saved?" And he said, "Well, the other night you were preaching on hell." And he said, "I came down here to this altar and said, one of these men told me that Jesus loved me and Jesus died for my sin and that if I'd put my faith and my trust in Him and ask Him to save me, He would." I said, "You know what?" I said, "I listened." I said, "You know what?" I said, "I know. I've never done this before or since." I said, "I know exactly what the problem is." That man looked at me and said, "Would you tell me?" I said, "Sure." I said, "Let me turn in my Bible." I turned over to Romans 10:13. I showed that man that verse of Scripture, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I said, "I know what the problem is. God didn't mean that." That man looked at me, kind of quiet, kind of like that. "He did too, preacher. He did too. That's what he said." And you know, I looked at him and grinned. I said, "You know, I'm inclined to agree with you." I said, "I believe God did mean that. He meant everything He said in that book." Then I said this. I said, "Well, I know what the problem is now for sure." I said, "I know what the problem is." He said, "Well, would you tell me?" I said, "You called on the Lord the other night and you didn't mean it. You just said words and you didn't mean it a bit more than a man in the moon." And I got quiet. He swelled up. He started shaking that head, Brother Preston, like that. "You don't understand." He said, "You don't understand, preacher." He said, "You don't understand." I ain't said a word. He said, "I meant it with all of my heart. You don't understand." I never said a word. It got quiet. About 10 seconds, that man throwed his hands up there. He said, "I'm saved." He said, "Praise God, I'm saved." Amen. You say, "Pastor, what are you trying to say?" Listen, I couldn't tell him if he is saved or he wasn't saved. But I can tell him this. If God meant what He said, and He meant it when He asked Jesus to save him, he got saved by the grace of God. Amen. And the Holy Ghost had to tell him. Amen. For years, I made a bad mistake. I said, "The only way you can know for sure you're saved is by the Word of God." And that certainly is a great big part of it. But I'm going to tell you something. You can know the Word of God, not know the God of the Word. I'll tell you, there's two things that go hand in hand. That's the Word of God and the witness. When a man looks at somebody, Brother Ralph, and says, I'm saved, the witness says, Amen. But I tell you, if a man says, I'm saved, and he ain't saved, the witness is saying, you know better than that. Help me tonight, amen. You know better than that. That's where that blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, comes from. When the witness and the Word marry up just like that, amen. Praise God. This business requires one to be willing to listen. Then this business is one where we're ever learning and increasing in wisdom. In verse number 46, the Word of God said that there that He was asking them questions. And then in verse number, let's see here, 52, the Word of God said Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. Listen, we never get there. Paul, as bright as he was, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, learning the things of God and the Word of God, he said, I've not yet attained. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I tell you, I don't care how far down the road you are, I am. We're not there yet. God wants us to increase in our faith, increase in wisdom, increase in our stature as a man or a woman of God. Amen. We're ever learning and increasing in wisdom. And then I'll say this tonight. When you get involved in this business, it will cause others to be astonished and amazed. Look at verse 47 and verse number 48. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. I'll tell you something tonight. Oh, goodness. Miss Eve, when you were sitting on the back porch laughing with your back to Olivia and I, and she was explaining to Papaw that she had a scientific brain. And I'm telling you, I never heard such a rant in all my life. In the middle of it, she went, got her a big breath and took off again. Amen. And when she got done, she'd kill me tonight. She's to that age now, you can't tell this in her presence. Amen. She'd kill me tonight if she knew I was telling this. She got done. She said, Papaw, I said, what, baby? She said, I'm not just gorgeous, I'm a genius too. Amen. I tell you what's the truth. That's what I believe that they thought of Jesus literally when he answered their questions. Listen, sometimes just knowing the right question to ask. Jesus was full of wisdom. And I believe they were astonished. A 12-year-old boy could know what he knows. Amen. They just didn't know who he was yet, did they? Amen. And some of them died never knowing who he was and lift their eyes in hell. How sad that is. But this business here is one where it'll cause others to be astonished and to be amazed. I'll give you this tonight, just a couple more things and I'm done. Finished, Miss Eve. Finished, amen. This business is often misunderstood, even by our loved ones. Look at verse 49. He said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not, or didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And the Word of God said, and they, I believe this is Joseph and Mary, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. When you get involved in the Father's business, some won't understand. Listen to me tonight. If people would be honest with us tonight, if they'd be honest, we've got loved ones that don't understand why we want to go to church every Sunday, Brother Lowell. We've got neighbors that don't understand why we'd want to give hundreds of dollars to a church or to missions. They don't understand. We're going to give away a van tonight, and this world don't understand why you'd have something and why you'd give it away. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me tonight. I don't even know how the vote's going to go, but I got a good idea. Amen. I promise you this. we'll get back. You'll always get back more. That ain't why we do it. We do it because we love Jesus. But I tell you what, my Lord will not let us outgive him. Say amen. He'll always give back more. And I appreciate that tonight. This business is often misunderstood, even by our loved ones. And then I want to give you this tonight. This business is not optional to those who desire to please the Father. In other words, now listen to me tonight. I'm not being mean. But let me tell you something about Bible Way Church. Some people can leave it. They can take it or leave it. Let me tell you about some people's Bible. They can take it or leave it. Let me tell you about some people's prayer life. They can take it or leave it. Let me tell you about some people's tithes. They can give them or keep them. Some people ain't never tithed. All they've ever done is give God a tip every now and then. Then think they've done something. Say amen. Beloved, when we tithe, we just give God what's already His. When we give an offering, then we're giving something that's ours. Help me tonight. This business is not optional. You say, Pastor, where did you get that in the text? Look in verse number 49. How is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I, what's that next word? Must. Sister Joy, it's not optional if we love him. That was a long 2 or 3 weeks for you and Brother Bob, wasn't it? If I couldn't see nobody else but Brother Bob for 3 weeks, it'd be a long 3 weeks too. I had to get you back, Brother Bob. Amen. I had to even the score a little bit. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm going to tell you something. Some people don't even miss it. And I don't understand it. I can understand it if a person's not saved, don't know Jesus. But I can't understand how somebody can say they love the Lord and there's no must in the Father's business. I must, needs, be about my Father's business. I believe that word means the same thing as it did when he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. I believe he told Joseph and his mother Mary, how come you don't understand? I must. Now listen to me. Jesus wasn't being mean. How many believes that before he was 12 years old, from the time he was born to the time he's 12 years old, they had already seen and heard enough that they ought to have known, hey, something different about this boy. Mary already knew there's something different about that boy. Say amen! He didn't come into this world the way other little boys come into this world. She already knew it. Now I guarantee you that there have been times when he was working in the shop with Joseph and he asked this question or he asked that question. And I guarantee you that Joseph already knew that he was far above and beyond in wisdom than his age would indicate. Amen. This business is not optional. John chapter 8 and verse 29, he said, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Boy, oh boy. Then I'll give you this tonight. Well, I said 2 things ago, we just had a couple more things, didn't I? Well, just a couple more things, and I won't be lying. Y'all all right tonight? I wish I could lay my heart open tonight, let you see how thrilled I am to be able to stand in a place like this. I don't deserve it. Read a book like this. Have the prayers and the fellowship of people like you all. I was going to be mean, Sister Tanita, and say Macy Grace again, but I got it now. It's Macy Ann. Macy Ann's coming into some good company, ain't she? Coming into some good company. Amen. You can't wait to get her over, can you, Mary? Amen. You want her in diapers or not? Got rules to go by, don't we? Amen. I'm just kidding.
Amen. Two more things that I've done. This business brings favor, both with God and men. Now listen to me. Even in Jesus' day, the Word of God said He increased in wisdom and stature, verse 52, and in favor with God and men. Let me say this to you tonight. Not all men. When a man's ways please the Lord, the Bible said He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. But I'll tell you what, the Bible also said, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. Everybody ain't going to like it if you love the Lord. Everybody ain't going to like it if you stand for the Lord. And sometimes Jesus, I can't quote it exactly, but He talked about that day would come, you know, where a mother would be against a daughter and vice versa, a father and a son and vice versa, even in his own house, because Christ, beloved, listen, and the cross, it divides men. Jesus said, if you're not for me, he that is not for me is against me. He that gathereth not into my fold scattereth abroad. And so tonight, it brings favor. You remember the woman at the well, come see a man which told me all things ever that I did. You remember that? In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. He said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Watch this. And to finish his work. I'll tell you something tonight. I'm not being critical. But God's work is the last thing on a lot of people's mind. You want to know what's happened to America? I just said it. God's work, instead of being first, it became a convenience. And now with so many, it's, I'll give it to you, Lord. If I've got time, if I've got something left over, I'll give it to you, Lord. If I got some time left over, if I got some money left over, if I got some talent left over. Jesus said, say not ye, ye are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Listen to this tonight, and I'm finished. This business requires one to be subject to others. Notice what the Word of God said here. In verse number 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Jesus is never going to go against the Word of God. The Word of God said, honor your mother, honor your father and mother. And Jesus was subject unto them. I'll say this tonight, I'm not trying to be mean again, but a lot of people will never go far in the work of God because they've never learned to be subject one to another. A lot of marriages are tore all to pieces. Amen. Because a wife has never been able to be subject to her husband. A lot of marriages have been tore all to pieces because the husband has never been subject to Christ. You see, there's an order there, beloved. Lots of times I won't preach on the wife being subject unto the husband. But you see, that husband, his head is to be Christ. Ain't that right? Subject one to another. Just a verse or two here. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. I told my wife the other day, y'all might not like what I'm going to say, but here's what I said. There's a contest going on now between the truckers and Trudeau. Did I say his name right? Justin Trudeau. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You can look at both sides. I understand where the truckers are coming from. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you something. There reaches a point where you can look at both sides and the pride is swelled up. And ain't nobody going to give. And ain't nobody going to be subject one to another. Am I right or am I wrong? Hey, listen to me. Same thing happens in homes. Same things happen in churches. My way or the highway. that Jesus, I wanted you to see right there. Wish you not that I must not be about my Father's business. He didn't say, listen, Mom, get on out of here. No, he was subject unto them. It's going to be a while, isn't it? He's going to be 30 years old. What would that be? 18 more years before he begins his earthly ministry, his public ministry. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, make a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Titus said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. See that? How many's glad you come tonight?